Hey everybody, welcome to the Snapcast. I'm Bobby.
I'm Alex.
I'm Rob.
So today we completely intentionally we don't have anything prepared, right? We did this on purpose. We knew it was going to be a nice rainy Sunday. We just wanted to sit back, chill, and chit chat for a while. So 100% we did this on purpose. Here we go. Guys, how you doing today? What's going
good,
on?
Good. Drinking my coffee, getting ready to go, you know. Normally this is done by now, but I'm behind.
Yeah, no. I chugged mine as soon as we got here.
Yeah, I wasn't about chugging.
Yeah, no, I'm really tired. It's late night at work. I think I fell asleep at 4:30.
Yeah.
Champion status.
Yeah.
We've kind of talked about when we record. We record early on Sunday mornings. It's just kind of always worked out for everybody. So it's like 9:30, 10 on a Sunday morning, like relatively early for us. We do it while everybody's at church. It's nice and quiet out.
Yeah.
So we figured we'd start today by talking about some of these spoilers that popped up. Well, unofficial spoilers, right?
I mean, they're on enough
commented on them.
They're on enough sites that I think it's legit.
Yeah. I feel pretty sure they're legit. But yeah, this wasn't, you know, an intentional thing at all.
Yeah, usually it's around Christmas or something like that. We get like the Christmas surprise of Kozilek. Merry Christmas, Krampus, or whatever.
Yeah. Merry Kozilek.
Yeah.
But now, so we've got, it was three cards that were spoiled. It was Kozilek, which I didn't write down the rest of his name.
The Great Distortion.
Yeah.
The super upset monster.
Yeah.
And then a land called Mirrorpool, and then a new basic land just called Waste.
Yeah.
So the internet's lost its mind.
Yeah. I mean, the flavor of the Waste is pretty sweet. Like, they already had the flavor in battle where, like, as the Eldrazi take over land, they just convert it to garbage. Like, it's nothing. It's not usable.
Literal waste.
Yeah.
Laying waste. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a new symbol. If you haven't seen it yet, it's sort of a... It looks like a diamond if you drew it with, like...
The keyboard.
Yeah. So it's like a keyboard diamond, conveniently enough.
Yeah.
So it's easy to type. But we don't really know anything about this yet. Now, on Kozilek, in his casting cost, he's... What was it? Was it 10 CMC?
Yeah, 8 and 2 diamonds.
CMC doesn't matter. But yeah, so you got two of those little diamond symbols and then the regular, like, any color mana symbol for 8.
Yeah. Colorless, which is weird.
Yeah. Because so we don't know what this new land is yet. It really... I mean, a lot of people are speculating that it's just sort of a... It's specifically colorless instead of, like, just... Like, the normal casting cost being any color, this is specifically colorless, which is kind of a weird, like, I don't know. So, you said you saw something where Wizard said it's only for this set?
Yeah, that's what, I saw somewhere on the internet, I forget where now, but they were talking about how it's just going to be, like, a this set only thing.
Huh.
I mean, okay. Maybe moving forward, they bring it back at a later date, like, whatever, Emrakul shows its spaghetti monster face. But, like, Wizard has this habit of messing up the third set. Well, this is the new third set.
Yeah, now it's the second set.
Yeah, so welcome to the now. Yeah, the second set, new things that only work in one set. Like, it's just going to alienate the set.
The thing that bums me out is that I feel like, Theros came out, and there was really no fanfare for Theros. It was just a Magic set. Like,
right.
We're going to Theros, this new plane. It's going to be kind of weird. Here we go.
Yeah.
After that, like, after Theros block, every set since then has had some type of weird, like, hype about it. Whether it was the Onslaught fetches, and then the Expeditions, and now this weird color, and the Flipwalkers. It's like, man, like, can we just have a regular set again?
Yeah, like, people undervalued Theros. I really enjoyed it because it was just a set. I enjoyed the flavor of, like, the Greek gods. You know, the gods didn't see a lot of play, but they were still cool ideas. Like, I like that concept. But now, like, this, where you have to have, like, the new mythic thing is you have to have a certain land to cast it that's only in this one set.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not going to play well with already Battle for Zendikar. When Innistrad comes out, it's definitely not going to play well with Innistrad.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, now so I know EDH people are happy.
Sure.
On this cast, we don't care about the feelings of EDH people.
Agreed. Sorry, EDH players. Sorry, EDH. It's not our jam.
Yeah, we're neutral when it comes to that. But I know that they've been wanting a colorless land for a while. Something to do with an EDH you can't
have.
It's
a basic.
Yeah.
So you can't run multiple copies of lands that aren't basic. So it's their basic colorless for the artifact. Because
they can't run, like, mountains in a colorless commander deck, right?
They can, I believe, but, like...
It does not tap for red mana. Yeah, whenever it grows to produce mana, it makes colorless.
See, but I don't even know if they can run mountains. If you're,
yeah,
you can?
Oh, yep, yeah. Because the mountain itself is a colorless card. It's just if a card were to produce. Yeah, it's weird.
So does it produce no mana? Anyway, we don't know. This is not our territory, but I do believe that this is something EDH people are happy about. So that's cool. They get that. The thing that's weird with it is like, so are we gonna errata like? Like a,
like I said, I think that's why they said it's just for the set because it's not going to backtrack
the rest. Yeah,
yeah,
it's because otherwise it's like, so Radiant Fountain, does that tap for this diamond now, or is it still just a nondescript color? Like, what? Yeah,
I think, like I said, this is just for this set. They're probably trying it out. Maybe it'll, maybe next time we go to Phyrexia, they'll reinstate this for like an artifact set, which I'm sure. They're on the hype train of reprinting sets, so who knows? Maybe we'll go to Phyrexia again next year.
Oh, like, I'm sure
for the third time. Like,
well, I think we might return to the Return to Ravnica first,
right?
Before we return to new old Phyrexia. Yeah, it's just like, oh man, I get it. Like, you want your sets to sell well, but I just like Innistrad was so cool when it came out. Can't we have something cool like that? Just something new and fresh, not Innistrad again.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, because I was the same way. I didn't appreciate Theros when it came out, and now I missed Theros. Like, I think that might have been my last favorite set. Like, because the new sets just, it seems like we build around this cool new flashy thing, and then that's it. There's a bunch of like meh cards chopped in there with it.
Yeah, the decks that are coming out right now in Standard and stuff like that are very, they feel like block decks. Like, not many cards transfer over. Obviously, there's things like Gideon and Jace that you just play those cards. But other than that, like, you're either still in, like, a tricolor wedge or, like, from cons, or you're just doing your own thing. Like,
it's just kind of good stuff decks.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Things aren't, like, there's no synergy between sets, and which I understand that's hard to do. Like, there's, you can never just be like, oh, look, here's, you know, cons has this mechanic. Well, let's put it in Zendikar. Like, because I'm also worried about, like, Awaken. Awaken was a sweet mechanic out of Battle for Zendikar. But now, if this colorless thing is the new gimmick in Oath, is Awaken still going to be a thing? Like, if they make both these just one block, there's not enough cards to make it playable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you need more good Awaken cards to come in to push that. And will we even get them now?
Like, and especially because Converge was a mechanic in the first Zendikar in battle. So, like, it rewards you for investing colors of mana. Next set is, oh, look, a colorless basic land that doesn't
does
help.
Count? Well, yeah, does it count? Probably not. But who knows?
Yeah.
For anyone listening who's unfamiliar with this whole thing so far, like, we don't really have much official word on this at all. So we're kind of shooting from the hip.
Wizards
here.
Hasn't officially, like, yes, these are official, come out and said, this is how they work in gameplay. Does it tap for colorless? Is diamond its own thing? Like, is that a color, but not really for Converge and things like that? Does it count in Modern for like Tribal Flames, which does damage to the number of basic lands? This is the new basic land. Does it count for that? Like, things like that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I thought it was funny. Like, there was a Reddit post that was, how will this affect Modern and Legacy? Like, we don't even know how it's going
to
affect Standard.
Like, there's not even enough cards to,
we don't know. Well, we don't even know what this thing really is entirely yet. Yeah. Like, I love the enthusiasm, but we need to,
Modern
pump
and Legacy
the brakes a little here.
Are definitely more on, like, synergy. You want your decks to work together.
Oh, yeah.
You're not going to put in this new colorless land that doesn't help your deck when you could be on one land because of Wastelands and things like that, and then the payoff card is one card from some set, and I don't think there's going to be enough to send this to other formats, and that's also a problem. Because if you look at the last couple sets, cards have gone to Modern. Kolaghan's Command, Atarka Command, Tassiger, Jace is also infecting other formats now too. Like, the last sets have had powerful enough cards that they went to other sets.
Siege Rhino.
Yeah, Siege Rhino. But this one is color, like, I'm hoping there's more to it, and I'm going to withhold judgment until we get more spoilers, obviously, but right now, not a good start. It's going to be its own thing. People are going to be, love it or hate it, it's not going to work well with anything else right now.
I think one of the biggest things that's going to hurt this, though, for your Eternal formats is, other than the one basic land that we've seen, I mean, there might be more, that there might be duels with this waste.
Sure.
Are they going to be fetchable?
Right.
Because that's really the big thing of, does it make it to Modern or Legacy is, how can I dig this up when I need it? Because you don't have the time to wait for that draw.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
I think they may have intentionally done this to keep it in standard, sort of as a like you said earlier, like a way to test the waters. Because I mean, people have been talking forever about adding a sixth color.
Yeah, well, Mark Rosewater said back in the day, like early in Magic's creation, like they thought about throwing in purple. Like he was pushing for purple for a long time, and then he just decided he didn't want to do it. He wanted to keep the five colors we have and establish archetypes for them, like Black Death Touch, White Lifelink, like establish certain things for
build
them.
Up their sort of gimmick, their thing. Right. Yeah. Yeah, no, I think we've gone too far to add a sixth color, and I think that that's what they're going to find out if this is sort of a testing the waters, because you'd have to errata so much, and you would just have such a weird, like, how do you blend things in with older cards? How do you blend in older sets? I mean, Plus, sometimes I feel like the color identity of the five colors we have now gets kind of wishy-washy.
Yeah,
where you're like, all right, red can do some kind of green things and vice versa. And some of them do like the same kind of things. White and green have some overlap with like enchantment hate and stuff. So I don't know if they have enough material to stretch to a sixth color.
Yeah, and on top of that, like, I can understand, like, if you want to do like, a full reversal in a set. Like, oh, now blue has burn spells in this set randomly or something like that. Like
do a planar chaos kind of thing.
Yeah, like a complete reversal, but they're not even doing that. They're just, like, meshing stuff over. And it's just, I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure it's probably for balancing sake, but, you know.
But even the blue is the strongest, so.
Yeah, always.
Always. Island's the best card in Magic.
Yeah, I don't know. Purple could be good. What would it be? Like, I don't even know what type of land it would be. Purple.
I don't know.
Rain.
Moon.
Rain.
Moon. Moon mana.
A moon mana.
Rain mana. You can only get it on like some days, like this morning.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we'll see what comes of this Kozilek card. I mean, the Kozilek itself looks like a pretty sweet card, though, I think.
It's pretty powerful.
I was mostly distracted by the weird new mana symbols, but it's got some decent stats on it.
I mean, I think it's going to play, just immediately looking at it, it's going to play into the green deck, the green ramp, because explosive vegetation, all that says get basic land so they can get their wastes.
Wastes, yeah.
So yeah, instead of splashing red now for like a target, they're just going to splash wastes. It's going to be the splash for whatever cards come with it. And also having Kozilek with Ulamog, because Kozilek has another on-cast effect, draw back up to seven cards in your hand.
Yeah.
So like it refills their hand when they're just been playing all these ramp spells trying to ramp to like Ulamog or something and they don't have it. Kozilek is just like, oh look, I refill my hand, oh there's an Ulamog, I'm gonna cast next turn and things like that.
And maybe it's as simple as that. Maybe the whole new symbols are just to keep some of these powerful cards from going to modern.
Right. It could be. Yeah. That like they've realized they messed up enough with things like Jace's and things like that.
Yeah,
that it just,
like this makes it too restrictive for Tron, because refilling their hand would be pretty good. Like other than the mana cost, this card looks like it would slot in pretty good. What is the CMC on it, Rob?
10.
It is 10.
Yeah, 8. Cool. Two diamonds. Which they need a better.
Yeah, diamonds.
I guess wastes, but like. That's weird.
Not good either.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll come out with something.
I know that's the joke everybody's been making now. Though, they finally reprinted Wasteland.
I think I got the mana symbol. It's an 8-bit Hedron.
Oh, yeah, for the Hedron for Eldrazi. Yeah,
there we go.
Nice, dude. That was pretty obvious. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. I mean, sure, Eldrazi.
Hedron mana.
Yeah, but that's weird because the Hedrons are used to beat the Eldrazi, so that doesn't make sense either.
They took it. They took it.
No, yeah, it's their thing now.
Yep. Yeah, they took it.
You know, it was something that was hateful towards them. Now they've adopted it as their own. Yeah, it's their symbol.
It's like a Disney movie.
No, they're baiting it up, you know. They were born in the Hedrons, so like it's theirs now. I don't know.
Born in Hedrons.
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
What do you think of the discard ability with Kozilek? The whole discard a card with converted mana cost X, counter target spell with converted mana cost X.
I mean...
Dope.
Yeah,
especially since you refill your hand, right?
Yeah.
So,
and especially because the refill is on cast. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be super relevant.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how it plays out. I think that does make him kind of OP for modern. Like that would be really annoying. They cast it, they refill, and now they have a sweet ability to counter stuff and just play, you know, protect the queen and beat you with them.
Yeah, especially because like in modern, you know, the converted mana costs everything. Like they're gonna try to path you for one, so you just run a one drop and you're like, oh, counter your path,
boom.
And it's not even, it's an ability, so they can't even like counter spell back. They have to, there's only like two stifle
that
effects
they keep
in modern.
Go, yeah, that they keep
and
going
and they cost two mana
removal.
So they're not played. Like squelch cost one of blue to counter activated ability and draw card. Bad stifle, but...
Yeah, so, I mean, like, I think that that may be it. That may be what's up with the mana symbols. Makes this new set kind of spicy, locks them out of modern a little bit, but I don't know. We'll see, because, I mean, like you said, Rob, they're not fetchable, so they're going to be, well, at least at
the current incarnation right now is not fetchable. As
well, not fetchable for fetch lands, but fetchable with like ramp spells that get basic.
Exactly. Yeah. So it would kind of lock it out of modern a little bit. Yeah. But I mean,
they could just say like, oh, every fetch can get it because it's colorless. Who knows?
True. But then it would have like all basic land types.
I mean, it just might be like a rat for it, just because like any land could be wasted. So it could kind of work on there. Like, oh, my Flood Strand got wasted into a waste.
Evolving Wilds is finally going to see modern play.
Never.
That would be kind of good flavor, though, if there's like a smaller Eldrazi that you cast, and when you cast them, you can choose any amount of land, sack them, and go fetch up wastes in their place.
Oh, that'd be interesting. Like a scape shift effect for wastes.
Yeah. Like a 4-drop Eldrazi, 5-drop Eldrazi, something like that. That doesn't cost wastes, you know what I mean?
Yeah, just
5 colorless.
That could be interesting. Who knows where they go with it? What was the mirror?
I'm calling it. I'm putting that in. That's going to happen.
I mean, it's a good spec.
No, yeah, that's...
May just be one. Maybe you just sack one land.
Because then they released the land Mirror Pool, and Rob has it up if you want to read it.
Yeah, read off the card.
Yeah, okay, so Mirror Pool is a non-basic land, enters the battlefield tapped. You can tap it to add one of these 8-bit Hedron symbols.
Diamond. We're going with diamond, right?
Okay, diamond. For Tuna Diamond, you can tap and sacrifice Mirror Pool.
Wait, what's a Tuna Diamond?
What, two?
All right, sorry.
Yeah.
We're done interrupting.
Yeah. Copy target instant or sorcery spell you control. You may choose new targets for that copy. And then four and a diamond, tap, sacrifice Mirror Pool, put a token onto the battlefield that's a copy of a creature you control.
I mean, it's some pretty interesting abilities. But it's one of those cards where, like, yeah, it produces waste mana, but you have to have another waste to use it. So it's another, like... You're invested in wastes in this deck.
It can't count as your only waste.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, its abilities are kind of sweet. The other abilities make
the copy spell is pretty sweet.
The token doesn't exile, right? There's no exile on the token, right?
There's no exile on the token.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty sweet.
Was it just four and a diamond? You have to sack the land?
Oh, no, you do have to sack.
Sack it. Okay, yep. So you get one. I mean, but that's still pretty good considering all the big, nasty creatures we have.
Yeah,
right now.
You pay 5 mana for a copy of a really good creature that probably costs more than 5 mana.
Yeah,
is essentially what it's going to come down to.
And how many of the big Eldrazi are legendary?
All of them.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, you can get in acute interactions where they're trying to like stasis snare it, and you're like, oh, I'll make a copy of it and sack the one you're trying to snare.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and cool, then man. I just still have one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so it's almost like a, get out of... Now, what about their, when they enter the battlefield triggers? Do you get those with this copy?
They're all on cast.
Okay.
Ulamog and Kozilek are on cast. They're not enter the battlefield.
Makes sense now why they print... Yeah. Okay, so you don't get to do the OP effects again, which is good.
So
Mirror Pool, like, it might see... I mean, obviously, we're way too far out to know if it's going to see play or not.
Right.
The copy, I feel like copy, instant, or sorcery, that always feels really good, but never
it costs
sees
so
play.
Much mana.
Yeah, it's because you have to pay for the spell and then the copy, so maybe, but I don't see that happening.
Like, if you're in that much mana, you just want to awaken something anyway, usually. Yeah. So, like, that's the new thing right now is... Awaken feels a lot like Overload from Ravnica. Like, you know, Psychonic Rift for 2 for tempo early, then 7 later and clear everything. But this is just, I'm going to get a land that's a creature and probably do some stuff here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's used the same way, too, really. Where, like, Cyclonic Rift, like, almost always cast for blue and one. Like, Overload every now and then. Like, and that's...
It's usually overloaded on the second time through with Elixir. Like, oh, I drew it again. Now it's overloaded time. But no, it's the same with like Planar Cleansing. You Planar Cleansing early, and then later on, like flash it back with Jace or whatever, and they're like, oh, I'm going to awaken and get this sweet land too. Like, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, Kozilek's interesting. I like him. Mirror Pool, we'll see. Depends on what else comes out in the set.
Yeah.
We've got Zada, who never saw any play. Maybe we can copy some instants and hit Zada multiple times. And spend 12 mana to win the game on turn 15.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Actually,
combo.
What's the land type on Mirror Pool? I didn't even look at that, Rob, if you want to.
Land? The land type itself? It's just land.
Okay. Land. I was just making sure it wasn't like a Lotus, like they're bringing that crap back, like, you know, Cloud Post or any of that shit. Because it's got a goofy name, Mirror Pool, you know. Just making sure they're not doing anything down there I missed.
Yep. Not yet.
Yeah.
But it is kind of, it's very notable that we're 3 cards into the set so far and like it's already hit the ceiling. Like we're already out the gate with some craziness.
Well, I mean, they kind of did this last time too, where they put out the early hype cards early and then the rest of the set was lackluster. Like they put out Gideon and the Planeswalkers and everybody was like, whoa. And then the rest of the set was.
And announced expeditions and then it was just from there on out.
Yeah, the whole spoiler set dropped and you're like, all right, there's some cards in here I can play. Like.
Yeah, that's very true. So hopefully they follow up the hype on this one, especially since these may have leaked way sooner than they anticipated. So
right.
We'll be sick of hearing about them by the time this set comes out. Yeah. Did you see, too, though, where they put up the fat packs for Oath of the Gatewatch on Oath of the Gatewatch on Star City Games, and they're already pre-selling at $50. They already have an extra price because they're doing the full art to get the packs. Yeah,
sure. And it's going to be new full art. Like art.
Is it? I think it's the same ones.
The same art as
Battle? I think it's the same ones as Battle. Now maybe they might include these wastes, but
well, it's a common though. Like it's not a land.
That's right, yeah.
Which is another thing to talk about. It's not a basic land. You're not gonna. This isn't gonna replace mountain in your pack. It's a common, which also gets weird for pre-release because you could open a Kozlik and then randomly get no wastes and. Oh, well, I guess I'm never going to cast this in a pre-release.
I'm kind of inclined to think that we're going to see something at pre-releases where they have some that they send to the store that you can get out of the land bin, but maybe not. I mean, but yeah, that seems really weird that you
And they also hinted that the pre-release was going to be two-headed giant-esque.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
Now that
makes sense, though, because now you're opening twice the card pool, so you have more chance to get these lands, and one player uses them and one doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, that could work for that. But even then, the two-headed thing is going to be interesting, too, to see how that comes out. If it's full-blown two-headed or if it's just...
I think the last thing I read was that they're pushing it to be. It doesn't have to be, but that's they're intending for it to be. Yeah. Which will be interesting because, like, I don't know how...
Because they always do two-headed pre-release anyway, and the turnout's never great.
Yeah, they, like, hardly ever fire at our local shops. And if they do, it's like... Two teams or three teams, maybe.
They get the eight minimum people.
Yeah, and it's usually the people that had to work during the other pre-releases, and that's the only one they can make, so they just took it, yeah. So, hopefully, I mean, it'll be like, the craziest thing will be to see, okay, so our LGS, are they going to swap the times? Because they usually do normal pre-release in the hot times when everyone shows up. So are they going to do the two-headed giant now, like at the midnight and stuff?
And then also like, man, I don't want to go alone because I have to like pair up with some random person. Yeah, like, man, I don't want a rando.
Nah, you'll make some friends. You got some time. You got some time.
Got some time.
We'll talk about that in the second half of the cast.
Yeah. But, one thing I do want to point out though.
Yeah.
So I just got done looking at Battle for Zendikar and I was looking at the land cards.
Yeah.
This basic land, it is marked as a common, not a land.
Yeah.
184 out of 184. Normally, lands are the last ones.
Yeah.
So, did they do lands before it, and then this is just the last card they're having it marked as common? Or are they only going to be using Battle for Zendikar lands?
I don't know. I mean...
I don't know.
They said it was going to be two decent-sized sets,
well, no,
and 184
is
pretty
low. Have Mirrorpool already as a land. What's the number on Mirrorpool?
174 out of 184, and it's a mythic.
I mean, the mythic doesn't determine
right.
Number.
No, but it's 170. Yeah.
So we know we got at least 10 lands. Well, but they're gonna do the new. They're doing the new full arts, and I think they're gonna have the new symbol on them. So I think they're still technically gonna have all of those basics too.
I don't know, because like 184 is a pretty low number for a total set. Because there's supposed to be two bigger sets now, and 184 is not a big set in my opinion. Like for big, I went over 200, which is the normal. But so it could be the last. You know, it's actually like 200, but the last 16 are land or whatever, you know.
That's true, yeah. They're like the Battle for Zendikar lands.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. We'll find out. Yeah, this will be interesting. It would be nice if they kept the same... If they're going to use the same art, it would be nice if they just used the Battle for Zendikar lands, because then you don't have to worry about, like, oh, the same land, but different art.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Different
symbols.
Symbol, yeah.
Giving away information. But no, there's not really Thoughtseize right now, but nonetheless.
Yeah, just in general. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. So we'll see what comes of this. The pre-release will definitely be interesting. I don't know what I'm hoping to get out of this, but I know that I want a new Jace.
I mean,
but I think
so the whole Oath of the Gatewatch is four planeswalkers coming together, which is Jace, Gideon, Chandra, and Nissa.
Yeah.
So
I could go for a good Chandra. That'd be dope.
Yeah, right.
Finally.
I don't know if we're going to get a card for him necessarily.
Yeah.
Like we got Gideon.
They're big players, yeah.
But
it would be weird because, because we already have Gideon.
Yeah. But I honestly don't know if we're going to get the other planeswalkers. We'll probably get Chandra because there wasn't a red walker yet.
Yeah, aside from her flip, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, in Zendikar.
There wasn't a blue walker yet, was
Kiora.
Oh, green. Yeah, I guess that counts.
Yeah. So I don't know if we're going to get all of these people as planeswalkers.
I mean, it would be kind of messy if we did. Well, we only have the one flip Jace right now, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so I guess that wouldn't be that bad.
No, but I don't think Jaces. A new Jace can overpower the flip Jace. There's like... The flip Gideon is never going to see play over the four mana Gideon. I don't know if a four mana Jace would ever see play over the flip Jace.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. I'll be honest, my intentions are really modern. I'd really like another new three mana Jace, like a little bit better than the old baby Jace.
Something Jace like Bellerin.
That. Yeah.
Something he serves his purpose.
A little bit better. Yeah. But we'll see.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean the new set will be exciting like always. Hopefully we get some more stuff than not just these spicy, like weirdness cards. Yeah. So but we'll see what comes of that. But let's see. So what else do we got here? So we talked we're going a little over on the segment for time. So it's time for a break.
Woo!
All right, guys. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. All right. Welcome back, everybody, to the second half of the very casual, very comfortable Snapcast.
Right.
So to start us off on the second part here on this rainy day, Alex has a tale for us.
I do. It happened a while ago. I should have told it earlier, but I've been traveling and whatnot, so I haven't had a chance. It happened at Modern States. We carpooled up there, all five of us, and to play some Modern. I was excited about the day. I was playing Tarmo Twin. I had good expectations and hopes. The day quickly went to crap. I went 2-3 and dropped. Yeah, I went 2-3 and dropped. During those five rounds I played, I won every game won. So I played 15 games. In those 15 games I played, I drew twin a total of 3 times.
Yeah. Which, for those that don't know, not very often. Should happen much more than that.
Yeah. Yeah, and in 4 games, drawing twin 3 times was pretty atrocious with all the Serum Visions and things like that.
Unprecedented.
And, yeah, and 2 of them were in the same round against Jund, the matchup where I don't want it.
Yeah.
And one of them was a 1-of after a sideboard game that I happened to hit.
Yep.
And And the other time, I didn't even cast it because it was in the Twin Mirror against American Twin where they have Path to Exile. So I just tempoed him out with Karanos and things like that. So, like, it was just a bad day for that, which is why it led me to drop because I was just having bad draws. After I dropped, I brought my laptop and book to do some homework. So I went out to the car while people were still playing the last round to knock out, you know, I had to type like a 3-page paper. I wanted to knock out a page or two. And while I was out there typing, I had the door open to let some air in because it was a nice day. Something landed on my head and I swatted it off and proceeded to get stung by a bee on the palm side of my middle finger. I was in just disbelief at first. I thought, oh, maybe just like a fly that bit me, like a biting fly or something like that. And I looked down and saw the bee. I'm like, oh, that's sweet. Then my finger started to swell up a little bit. Luckily, I'm not allergic, so that didn't happen. But so then my finger started to swell up a little bit and hurt. I'm like, maybe I could push through. I tried to type one sentence, made it 2 words in. I was like, nope. Just saved it, shut the laptop, stormed in to rant and rave to you guys about the worst day I've been.
Yeah. Like, oh, man, that Modern tournament. Like, did they build that hall in, like, Indian burial ground or something?
Yeah.
I feel like we always have fairly... Well, I don't know. Rob had a good run.
Yeah, he
there,
top 8 last time, but...
But yeah, so like it was just the worst part was, you know, we talked about Chris's success on this and he was doing good that day and then he just started to go downhill.
Yep.
Yeah, 3-0, yeah, and then 0-3 to not make top 8. Meanwhile, Alex is out in the car getting stung by bees. And then we went to like the worst Mexican restaurant I've ever been to in my
life. Oh, yeah.
So it was just like Salt City the whole ride home. Like, that was not good.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So. And like, I can't even remember the last time I got stung by a bee before that. Like, I had to be like 5. Like, I was a kid. Like,
yeah, I never have. Never
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the fact that I was just, like, sitting in a car randomly, just, it's just, like, the biggest kick in the balls.
Of course this happened.
Yeah, it was the biggest kick in the balls I've ever had in a Magic tournament, I think. Like, I've had bad days, and it's been fine.
Chased
like,
out of the building, then chased out of the car.
Yeah.
Just couldn't hang out anywhere. yeah. No, that was pretty solid. Like, that's still my favorite, like, just bad day story ever.
Bad
so, if you're ever having a bad Magic day, just think at least you're not getting stung by bees.
True.
Trying to write a paper.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, I mean, like,
man, like now we had other stuff to talk about, but now I just want to talk about bad beats. Cause I feel like I got the reminder today when Facebook does the like, hey, you know, this was going on last year.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
So today's the 1 year anniversary of Richmond. when I was driving for top eight. Yep. So I saw that. I was like, man, I haven't had like any good finishes since.
Oh, that was the top eight, not the one where you punted on
Rev. No, yeah, no, this is the
because you were going to bad beats, so I thought it was the Rev punt.
No, yeah. Oh, man. I don't think we've talked about it. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so, I mean, that, yeah, it was just looking at that, I'm like, man, I haven't had hardly any good finishes since.
We haven't, like, played a lot.
But I haven't played standard. Yeah. I just can't get into standard right now. Like, I keep, because I kind of mentioned that I was going to work on a second modern deck a few weeks ago. I've set it on Infect. It's like, I think I'm 40 cards in already. Like, Puka Trade's been killing it. Because, yeah, I traded all the legacy stuff, shipped it all out, and.
Yep.
And yeah, I've gotten almost the whole deck already and a good chunk of it's still coming in the mail. But like, that was the thing was I had all this extra like Puka points left after I finished the new Scapeshift build. And like, I don't know, I started to look at standard decks. I was like, I'm going to look at modern decks again. Yeah, like, yeah. I'm just going to build another modern deck. Like, I mean, maybe the next set will do it for me with this new rotation. We'll see what happens. But
quick little segue here. Modern is booming as the Modern Grand Prix in Pittsburgh hit cap that I didn't know about. I was planning on going. Me and two other guys were going to go up there. And on Thursday, they text me and they're like, hey, man, did you register already? I was like, no, I was going to do it later tonight. And they're like, yeah, hit cap. So, like, none of us were registered. None of us went.
Yeah, so up in Pittsburgh right now, we're recording during day two.
Yeah.
It's a modern GP, 2,500 people in the main event.
Like, yeah, that was the cap they hit. And so there would have been more than that because people got capped out.
Because, yeah, you said, what, Thursday night was when it started to get the
business? It was Thursday morning it had capped out.
Yeah. So, I mean, that means there was plenty of people because I know a few people we know, they got up there, right, and then found out?
Yeah.
You couldn't sign up?
Yeah, Ed's cousin Chris got
that same thing. Oh, that sucks, man. I like Chris.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, Alex made a good point in that when you look on Wizard sites, they show scaling for prize support beyond 2,500 players.
Yeah.
So there kind of needs to be, like, I don't know if this was announced because there's a lot of salt out there right now about this because a lot of people traveled out there. And I mean, GPs, like, the caps have existed for some time now. I think but I saw in chat it's been like 4 or 5 years. But but usually it's either doesn't happen or it's not enforced, like you said. So
you usually have a convention hall, you can just jam 4,000 people in there. Yeah. That's why they have the policy of they actually split it into two Grand Prix. And in day two, the two Grand Prix meet into one again.
Yeah.
So like that's how GP Richmond was a few years ago. It was my first Grand Prix and it was modern and it was huge. Yeah, and it was two Grand Prix essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Vegas, they did the same thing. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's, and usually most of the time the people who schedule, and maybe it was just a scheduling issue because usually I feel like they always have the overflow rooms available.
Yeah.
Kids rooms.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I always call them. That's my last name's a W. So I'm always in the kids room.
You're right.
So I know this very well, but it's kind of mind blowing to me. Like an event like this, you know, it's modern, you know, you're going to draw a huge crowd. Why would you have the cap so like relatively low?
Right.
You know,
but you could have made a lot more money there.
Yeah,
like
less money on the table.
You probably turned away 1,000 people at, you know, I think it was $70 entry for this one. Like
most people register the day of, like, it's, you know, like
most people are in the car like, oh yeah, I better register real quick. Like that's just how it is. Like, Magic players are typically sloppy and we don't care. We're just like, oh, I'll put it off to the last minute.
Well, it's that and that most places do scale. So,
right, exactly. Right.
I don't think many of us have had an experience where we've been turned away from a tournament.
Right. Like,
almost.
Well, there was the 100. That was a shit show.
That has a huge asterisk next to it.
Yeah.
That was one of many things wrong with that.
You hit the thing, though, with the size of the venue. I think there's either huge scheduling conflict and they didn't realize the convention center was booked for a whole bunch of things, because the Pittsburgh Convention Center, I've been there before. It's great. It's very nice. They've hosted a lot of big things and they didn't start running side events until 3 p.m. because they had no room.
Wow.
Jeez. All right.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's a hot part of the country and I mean, it's a lot of players to accommodate.
It
so,
pulls all the Midwest and East Coast players.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we'll give them a small, you know, margin of error there. Maybe it was just there was no space. Now, in the back of my mind, I feel like you kind of read. I don't know the pricing, obviously, what they pay for these events, how much they pay out of pocket, whatever. But it just seems like you should be more prepared for this.
Yeah.
I didn't know the company. I'm not going to name the company that did it, but the company that was doing it, I had never seen the name before this until the Facebook like event popped up and everything. So I was like, I don't know, because it's Wizards, but then do they...
Well, it's stores that host GPs. Like right. Star City does GPs and Channel Fireball does GPs. And then like, actually in the Midwest is usually Pastimes.
Yeah.
They do like Memphis and Chicago, St. Louis.
I think we're fine saying the name. It was like Professional Event Services.
Yeah. PES.
Yeah. Yep.
I had never seen that before. Nothing good or bad against them. I just, right. when I saw it, I didn't think it was the right thing.
Yeah, because that's why I gave you a look there. I'm like, I'm pretty sure Midwest is probably Pastimes, but no. I guess not. But
yep, so who knows? Maybe this was just their first rodeo. They didn't know what to expect. Nah, who knows?
Right.
But yeah, it's not good. That's for sure. Bunch of sad people driving back on Friday that couldn't get in. But yeah. So I mean, like, modern, like, I mean, we've harped on this so much, and we're so close to just being a modern podcast at this point because right. we talk about it so much. But like,
fun.
The format's grown on me tons since I've been playing it, and like, yeah, it continues to have these ridiculous numbers for events. Like, it's just down to numbers. You can't talk that down. But yeah, so right now that's going on. I was trying to pull up some day two metagame numbers, but I didn't see any pop up yet. But I got to watch some of it yesterday, and like, man, I don't know. So for this event, it would be Wizards running the stream, right? I mean,
yeah,
it pops
up
just Magic. The stream was atrocious.
I mean,
it is not good.
The good streams are usually Star City and Channel Fireball. They have the best streams, the best commentators and things like that. But, I mean, it's hit or miss sometimes.
Yeah,
for streams
it was
and things
just
like that. And then also, I think it's another weekend where there's multiple GPs and there's two more in foreign countries and things like that, so they have to split their coverage teams and things like that, and depending on where people are based, they just may like, I want to stay in, you know, England because it's closer, or wherever the other one is, I forget, but you know, Europe or something like that, vice, you know, come here to Pittsburgh, like, woo!
Yeah, they had Marshall Sutcliffe, and I can't remember the other guy doing the commentary, but the commentary was fine, but there's the booth and switching to things and, like, the in-between round stuff they're showing was all just very loosey-goosey, like.
Gotcha.
But I mean, it's cool to always see Modern on camera.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, like, because we've got Jerry was up there yesterday and he played.
Yeah, made it. He registered. He played.
Yeah, he registered early. He's a good guy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how it's done. But yeah, he just missed out on day two. He was playing ad nauseum. And he sounded like he had a pretty good time, though. I'm definitely interested to hear his thoughts when he gets back.
I mean, he lost round 9 to Infectus. Worst matchup found at round 9 on his win in day 2, which actually next year it'll be different because next year X3 makes day 2 a Grand Prix. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yep. Starting in January. So
yeah, I mean, with these attendance numbers the way they are, like, makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, no. So, I mean, I'm glad to see that GP going good. It's a shame they hit the cap and all that. But yeah, I mean, so what else is going on right now, modern-wise?
I mean,
or anything-wise.
Anything could go on in modern. It's the most, like, is the most diverse, like even more diverse than Legacy, because Legacy is typically established decks. You don't need to change things.
Yeah.
Modern is very free to do whatever you want, and it could be good that day. Like the Twin, some versions of Twin are running Jace now and things like that. They're just doing, you can do whatever. You can brew, have fun.
Yeah, that was the one thing that I loved watching the stream was I got to see matchups like the Hulk Footsteps deck.
Yep.
Versus, I can't remember. I think it was Tron that it was playing against. It got Surgical Extraction. I can't remember which deck it was.
A lot of decks running out of the side.
Yeah,
it's
kind of popping
cast it
in
for
stuff,
free.
Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, it was pretty cool seeing these random decks pop up. I mean, that's one that we talked about during the Modern cast that had disappeared for a long time and was starting to make a resurgence. It was Zach Elstrick, the guy that was playing Top Control that had like all the GP success with Top Control.
Oh yeah, with
or
the
Lantern Control.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, he popped up with that today, and he won some buys off of one of the the Friday events where you can pick up some buys.
Yeah,
so he
picked
up two buys with that, and it looked like he was doing decent. So,
and then like Modern's one of those things where like you can play a French deck that maybe they don't have sideboard for, and you just get free wins.
Yeah, any given Sunday.
Yeah, like Ad Nauseam is definitely one of those decks where like people don't have sideboard hate for that. Like, no. And you can just snipe, like, as long as you dodge like Infect and like aggressive Zoo deck, you're fine.
Yeah, like, yeah, smooth sailing.
And like people, and like Ad Nauseam is actually the deck where if it's in the top 8, it wins. There's never been a Modern event where Ad Nauseam has hit top 8 and not won.
Wow.
It's just getting to top 8, dodging all the Infect that you have to do. Like,
yeah,
Like, that's the record of ad nauseum.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I've played a bunch of games against Jerry playing it, and, like, it's a sweet deck. Like, I was kind of surprised I didn't see it more and more in this area.
I mean, it's just not as fast as, like, Twin and things like that. Yeah. That are just... Wow. And it's a fringe deck, too, and it actually takes effort to play.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, you have to put in the time on that deck.
Yeah, and I mean, so I've still been playing. I finally finished the 75 for Scapeshift for the new Bring to Light Damnation version. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm dying to get out and jam some more tournaments because that deck is sweet. Like,
yeah.
I really want to get more games in with it because from what I've seen so far, I love it, but I don't want to find out that there's something horribly wrong with it. You know what I mean?
Especially, like, going, if you went to, like, Grand Prix, for example, like, with, like, oh, I've got, like, a dozen games in belt, seems sweet, and you get there and you're like, oh, I forgot about this matchup, and you play it all day. Like, yep. Yeah.
There it is. There's the one that I didn't plan for, yep. And I hit it constantly.
Yep.
The beauty of Modern. But yeah, no, I mean, I'm digging that. It's pretty sweet. And then I talked about I'm picking up Infect pieces now just because I wanted, like, for anyone that plays Control, you always hit this wall where you play Control in so many events over and over and over. You're just like, man, I just want to jam 10-minute games. Like, yeah, I'm just trying to go in here and get in and out. So I figured Infect would be perfect for that. We got Rob on the team, so I'll get to jam a bunch of games with him and get that squared away. But, yeah, I mean, so, man, anybody who hasn't gotten into Modern yet, do it. Now's the time.
Yeah.
But, all right, what else you guys got? What you want to talk about?
I mean, just stick it on Modern for, like, 5 seconds more here. I just want to throw
it out there. All right. Keep it going.
Most stores now are doing proxy tournaments for Modern because it is picking up popularity. So that's a good option for people to just be like, oh, I'm just going to. Yeah, I'm missing, like,
give it a whirl.
I'm missing the fetches or something. I'll proxy them up.
Yeah. I mean, because, like, yeah, fetches are good to, like, do we think we're going to see those in Oath? I really think they're going to be there, but...
I don't think so.
Really?
No.
Really?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
I think there's going to be expeditions again. I don't know what those are going to be.
Yeah, there are, yeah. And it's like they're going to fill out the set, right? There's going to be...
Because they did all the fetches and they did all the battle lanes.
So yes. They have five more
battle lanes they need to do.
Do you think
if they do battle lanes?
Ooh, yeah.
They may not.
Yeah, we don't know.
Wizards has a thing of only doing five.
That is true, especially lately.
Yeah.
Filter lands?
I mean, they could do filters. I mean, there's a lot of lands they could do for expeditions.
They could do the old man lands.
Yeah, they could do man lands. Because the new man lands, we're going to get those in Oath for sure to finish out the three that we don't have.
Yeah, we still need the Izzet one, yeah.
Yeah. Izzet, red, white, and black, green. Or those still have to come. So it could be man lands. That's a good expedition.
I'm sure those three at least will pop up. And then probably two from
so they might as well do the set.
Yeah, so that's 10.
Yeah.
Because I think the expedition set is like 40 or 45 was the amount of cards in it.
45.
And we got like 20.
25.
25, so we got 20 to go.
Yep. Yeah. We got the 10 shocks, 10 fetches, and the 5 battle lands.
Yeah, so we could do 10 more, or 10 man lands, 5 other of those, and then 5 of who knows.
Filters or who knows.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
Maybe they'll do some old random lands.
But but that's a really good point though. Between the new mana and the expeditions, they probably won't reprint fetch lands in the set. That'll be the next set.
Yeah.
I mean, because like we know they're inevitable, right? I mean, it would blow my mind if we didn't see them reprinted in the next year.
And especially when the way they're pushing Modern, they want more people to play it. Like, that's an easy way. Like,
because
like with Modern Masters and stuff, they can keep the majority of prices low for Modern. Like, at least the entry level is lower and can be lower.
If you can keep it to where each deck only has like 8 to 10 really expensive cards, you're good to go. Because now all these local proxy tournaments, like, you know, a good $50 to $100 and you're in on the proxy limit, you're good to go.
Yep. I mean, I'm still hoping there's going to be an unset next year. Like, we had Conspiracy this year or whatever, and that was okay, but I want
Conspiracy this year or last year?
I don't even remember, last year I think
yeah, that was last
so,
year.
So we didn't have one this year.
No,
we had Modern Masters instead.
Oh yeah,
it's always like the summer fun set.
So give me that third unset,
because we're definitely not due for another Modern Masters for another year or so.
Yeah, probably.
Let me
have some fun this summer. Come on.
I could dig an unset.
Legacy Masters.
The only thing that makes me think they wouldn't do an unset is that they like to sneak in full art lands for those, and we just had a whole bunch of full art lands.
It'll be a full 6 months or so, summer.
That's true. They can just keep riding that train.
Yeah. I mean, they could throw in another gimmick in the unset. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At this point, oyster. I expect nothing out of Wizards.
They get through the purple land. In
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
No art land.
No art land. This is the word island on it.
It's done. Just pure white and says island. Yeah. It looks like a proxy.
Draw your own land. That should be really sweet. Oh, yeah. But yeah, so I mean, we're coming up here right about 45 minutes. So we got about, you know, some time left. If you guys have any other topics you want to go in on, I know today's kind of, this is our freeform, Alex called it the freeform jazz podcast session earlier. Yeah. So off the dome, what do you got, guys? What do you guys want to talk about?
So I've actually been able to dedicate for 8-man since I've been staying up until 4 or 5.
Nice. Yeah.
And I've been doing, again, just the success with Trample and Infect is great. So I would definitely recommend picking up Rancor if you haven't yet.
Yeah, so the list I'm looking at runs 1 Rancor. How many are you running right now?
I have 2 main, 1 in the side.
And then what are you doing with Battle Rage? You still have those?
I have 3 Temur Battle Rage, 3 or 4 main with 1 Stomping Ground.
Fair enough. Yeah, just getting more aggressive. I actually saw a list pop up the other day that was like black red battle rage. So it's running like a bunch of delve stuff and fetch lands. So it's running like anglers. So it's just what's the hammer out of angler and battle rage it and like things like that. Like it's still the swift spears and all that, but it was like it was interesting. I saw it. Yeah.
There's been a rise of, like, watching coverage yesterday. I've seen a lot of these sort of Atarka-style decks.
Yeah.
You've got the commands. It's like the burn, some of the burn creatures with goblin guides and swift spears. Well, but then, like, you know, yeah, the delve creatures and things like that. And
I mean, that comes down to just there's no top-end modern deck. Like, even the top-end decks and, like, Junk and Jones stopped it. 4. Yeah. Like, they might run a Huntmaster or a Seed Rhino, and, like, that's it. So these aggressive decks can just... Oh yeah, like your top end's not gonna be big enough to beat my aggressive, so here we go. like you just have to dodge combo. Yeah. So like the aggressive decks are on the rise. Target Command did a lot of work in that.
That's one thing Jerry brought up too about his report from Friday night.
Oh yeah, he played side event. Yeah.
A lot of aggro coming up in
Zoo
modern.
And things like that. Well, I mean that Gruul hyper aggro that me, Jerry, and Ben worked on for a while. Somebody won a 5K with a similar list. And, like, just because they're abusing Burning Tree Emissary, bringing that card back.
I miss Burning Tree Emissary.
Yeah, that card was great. And they were just abusing it again because you could cast 2 1-drops off of it.
Well, we're at, like, the lowest point as far as sweepers go.
Yeah.
And the format.
Like, it's just red-green Tron with Pyroclasm. That's about it.
Yeah. So, I mean, you really don't see them. The blue, the American control decks are, like, maybe in the sideboard, like...
Yeah, and even Pyroclasm doesn't hit like Wild Nakat or Curd Apes.
Yep.
Yeah, and Anger of the Gods pops up in some. But yeah, I mean,
that's double red, so it's
I think
investment.
Since I've been playing the format, I've seen less and less sweepers and lists.
Yeah.
So maybe that's going to be what signals us to go back to more in the sideboard or sneak in the main. I mean, the new Scapeshift list is a little bit ahead of that with 1 in the main, so that'll definitely curve those matchups. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've been doing it too now where like with Twin. Because people expect Blood Moon out of the sideboard of Twin. That's just like, oh, you're going to go control. You're going to try to Blood Moon me. So people play around it. They fetch basics. No, we have the other fetches. It's easier to get basics in every deck now. Blood Moon's lost a lot of value. Like, yeah, it still wins against Tron and Bloom Titan. And if it's fast enough against Bloom Titan, you know, it still wins. But I actually prefer to have Anger in that slot. Like, in the sideboard in the 3-drop, I like Anger better.
Yeah.
With the rise of aggro decks.
Lingering people, Souls decks.
Yeah. People can fetch their basics now, so they're not dead to Blood Moon. And, like, I just want to anger people now.
Yeah.
Like, that's my new jam.
If we keep going towards this more aggressive, then, yeah, that's definitely going to be the place to be.
Yep.
Yeah. The other thing that I've been noticing a lot more, too, with Modern is... I mean, going back to the creature base, like more and more creatures, more decks are going wide. I think it's because there's so much 1-for-1 removal in the format that like, just go wide. Gotcha. Because Lingering Souls, I mean, that's been on the rise for a while now. But that's...
I mean, it kind of fell off because people have switched to Jund over Junk.
Yeah, that's true.
With
that's
the
true.
Rise of Jund coming back, Junk fell off. And a lot of that's just due to the banning of Birthing Pod. That's where all this those mid-range decks came back from, because it used to be Pod was just the best mid-range deck, so there's no reason not to play it. But no, that's gone. You can just run Seed Rhinos and Huntmasters. They're just good enough again.
Yeah, and that's like, I mean, banning Birthing Pod, it now in retrospect, looks like they nailed it. Good call. I mean, the format's much more diverse now without it. And that's kind of what I like, is like the card pool is so deep that Birthing Pod, how long ago? That's been almost a year now that that's been banned, right?
Yeah.
And we're still seeing the format kind of readjust to it. You know what I mean? Like, and that just shows how deep the card pool is, how much, like,
I'm glad that though we can agree that like Splinter Twin, Jund, Infinity, these are sort of the top tier decks, the difference between a tier one deck and a tier two deck is very minimal. Like,
right.
It's a small boost in consistency, pretty much.
And not even like it's more for large tournament by small tournament.
True.
Like at a Grand Prix, you just want to play the most consistent, the most like Twin, for example, in a Grand Prix, the best version is just blue red all in Twin because it's good against everything you're probably going to play. Whereas, you know, Grixis is kind of grindy, but you don't always want to grind, things like that. But then at a small tournament, you could just take like Living In and crush it if everybody's weak to it.
Like, I mean, there was a Living In player like 5-0 yesterday at the GP. Yeah, exactly. Like, you have so many possible matchups and so many like, you just can't. The thing that I love about it is like in standard, a tier two deck in standard is basically a nice way of saying it's a bad deck. Like, you're going to have subpar, some bad matchups.
I think it's a better
subpar
word.
Is better, but over 15 rounds, you're going to lose probably 5 times.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to lock yourself out just by your deck choice because the card pool is so limited that you're almost always playing a strictly worse version of a tier one deck.
Right.
It's just the way it is. Whereas, like, in modern, yeah, like we're saying, like, I mean, Twin, I think what separates tier one and tier two in modern is sort of the opposite, where a tier one deck in modern, you're going to pick up a few bonus wins. Like
right.
Twin, playing all in Twin, you're going to probably win maybe 4 or 5 rounds just off of, whoops, got it.
Whoops, Twin.
There's a Twin, yeah. So, I mean, it's nice in that regards to where if you're not afraid of the grind, you're not afraid of just trying to egg out every matchup, you can play whatever you want.
Yeah.
Like, I think we've all been knocked out of a modern tournament. At some point. I got knocked out by Mono Black Vampires one time. Like,
8-rack.
Yeah. What are you going to do? There it is.
Yep.
But yeah, no, I mean, that format is just sweet. And like, it's crazy seeing like a GP Richmond was over a year ago now. And that was a huge modern constructed event. That was a huge modern GP.
Yep. The biggest.
But at that time, biggest constructed, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So at that time, though, it was kind of hard to say. Was this because people loved modern so much, or was it because there just weren't a lot of big modern events? They were still kind of starting to pop up.
Right.
So was this just everybody has been dying to go for a year now and they finally got one? But now I think we can easily say like, no, that's just modern turnout. Like that's what that's the crowd modern brings.
Because it was followed by what GP Charlotte was also a modern GP.
Yeah, it was pretty large.
Had about 4,800, I think.
Yeah.
And then
Vegas.
Yep, Vegas. GP Pittsburgh, which capped. And then the Invitational that had the standard modern split was the largest
Columbus. Yeah.
And enough to where they said, okay, they're all modern standard now.
Yep.
Like, yeah.
That's in any big organization like that, they move so slow to make changes. So to see such a swift, like, yep, that's all of them now, it's pretty clear that they knew that that was probably going to happen.
Yeah.
Like it was we're pretty sure this is going to crush numbers. Let's find out. Yep, it did. All right, cool. Roll it out.
And that's the difference between like modern and other formats. Like other formats are more about identifying the deck you're playing. Like standard, there's only so many decks. If they lead with this creature or these lands, they're probably on this. This is how I beat this matchup. It's either control aggro or midrange. How do I beat that? Legacy is very, oh, here's their turn one play. I know exactly what deck it is. I know this matchup. This is how it goes. Do this.
Yeah.
Where modern is, I don't care what they're doing. I care about what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like the more you know your deck in modern, the better it is. Like modern's the weird format where like you want to know your deck better than theirs.
You can get intimate with your deck.
Yeah. And like a lot of times you don't care what they're doing. You just have your combo. You just have to be like, oh, they're in this color. This is their one disruption spell. Dodge that, or you know, fight the counter war over that. But then, other than that, you don't care.
It's like, also the format where like the who's the beatdown, who's the control changes so quickly. Like
when everybody's playing one or two drops, it's harder to tell.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you have a fluster of cards and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay, well I'm on the back foot now. They have a deceiver down and I don't have a counter spell, so I just got kill.
I think honestly modern is more who's the combo. Like, who's trying to go for the combo and who's trying to stop the combo?
Yeah, because there's not much long beatdown. It's who is on the edge of winning.
Yeah,
who
exactly.
Who has that slight tempo upswing.
Yeah.
It's very reminiscent of, like, the control mirror from Theros. Yeah. Like, he's like, all right, like, we each have powerful things to do here, but who's going to pull the trigger first and get blown out and then get beat by mine? And Yeah, it's like, I love it. The tenseness in each modern game is just so real. And they're fun matches, man. Like, even just casual messing around playing modern games is a blast.
Yeah. And that's why I think Snapcaster is such an interesting card in modern, because it's a 2-1, so you don't expect it to beat down. But it beats down a lot because people are respecting Twin or whatever you're trying to do in your deck. Like,
no, I know. A 2-2 is surprising. I mean, I know he's a 2-1, but just a 2-2 is surprisingly good at modern.
Right.
I mean, now you see like Chandra's parents, Pia and Nia.
Pia and Kieran.
Pia and Pia.
Mom and Pop Nalar. That's what
Mom and Pop Nalar. But like, they've been popping up in Scapeshift lifts. They've been popping up in some.
It makes two flyers. It's Lingering Souls, not in white.
Yeah, it's +1 cost and it leaves behind a body. And you can fling it for 2.
Yeah.
But it's such a card. You know what I mean? Like, in standard, that card is not good. I mean, I know it's had its time, but it's not a very good card. But then in modern, like, that's enough to get there sometimes. Sometimes the dust settles after a combo fight, no one wins, someone plays Chandra's parents, and then there you go, you're getting beat down by one once.
Same with like Lingering Souls and things like that, where you're just like, that's good enough.
Then that sounds like something that would make a format bad, but it makes it so good. Oh man, the simplicity is sometimes of modern. When you go to manual mode.
But and the other interesting thing about modern and legacy too is the new mulligan rule is really weird in eternal formats where you're fetching on turn one.
Yeah.
Because you mulligan and you're like, all right, I get my scry. Oh, I want that card. Oh wait, I have to turn one fetch Serum Visions.
I have fetch lands.
To fetch Serum Visions on my turn to set up for other things. Crap.
I will say one thing I do actually enjoy about it though is it makes it easier for me to play that turn one fetch, because if I look and it's just something I don't want at all, it's like, I don't care what the next card is.
You're gonna bottom it.
Definitely goes both ways,
But
it's like, because it's such a fast format, like in standard, if you had all fetch lands, you could look at the top card, say, okay, play your fetch land, and just don't fetch until you draw.
You know what I mean? In modern, you have to do something on turn one.
You need
for
to
the
jam
most part.
That to turn one Serum Vision so you can leave up turn two Remand. So
exactly. Or you just want to fetch in a turn to not take 2 damage off your land.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
yeah, no, it's the intensities of the turns makes the format that much better too.
Yeah, and it definitely rewards players, like I said, for knowing their deck and knowing what they should be doing on turn one and two. Like, I would say Legacy is more crucial on turn one and two, but Modern can be just as crucial.
Yeah.
Like, do you have to take 2 damage off a land because you need to do this? And like, those small things add up.
And to me, that makes it that much more intense, because in Legacy, you know every turn is intense. Modern, you're not even really sure until you get to turn 3 sometimes.
Right.
Like, depending on what you're playing in, you may make a mistake in turn one that you didn't know was a mistake at the time because of what you're against. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a great format. We're coming up on time here, so I think we will wrap so we can go play some modern. So we're getting out of here for this week. As we kind of alluded to in the first cast, Alex will be on the road quite a bit coming up here in the next few weeks. We got holidays coming up and stuff. You guys know how it goes. We are working on like setting up a way to record someone. Like, currently we all record in the same room, but we're looking at setting up a way to do like a call-in kind of deal, but we want to make sure the quality is still going to be there. So we're hoping to get that set up pretty soon, but we're not sure. So we may be missing Alex for a little bit here while we get that squared away.
Well, I do have an announcement. Alex, you should have gotten a couple packages in the mail.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I did not yet. But okay. All right.
You'll be getting some stuff from Amazon. We were able to hook everything up from the Snapcast account.
Oh, nice.
So you got your own mic, mic stand, and a nice pop filter.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Some travel gear.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Rob is the king of the Snapcast account and the Amazon orders. That's where such fun things like the bingo ball came from, which is still floating around here somewhere.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Now,
yeah, we got the noise. Thanks.
So that's our first announcement. And then, like, sticking on the theme of holidays, we haven't really sat down and figured out what we're going to do. We don't know who's going to be out of town, who's going to be in town, things like that. I know, you know, obviously we've got Chris, who's in the Army, Rob, who's in the Navy, Jerry's who's
Air Force.
So,
oh, wow, we got the trifecta.
Yeah, so a lot of people.
Retired Navy.
Sounds like I got to go join the Marines.
But, don't do that.
But, yeah, so
We've got a lot of people who are away from family and stuff, so we very well may be all over the place during the holidays. So we'll see how that goes, and we'll see. But we'll definitely post updates on the website and everything and on the Facebook to let you guys know what to expect. I think most people probably don't care about listening to Magic Podcast during the holidays anyway.
Yeah, they got better things to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we don't take that offensively at all. Yeah,
eat all the turkey can.
Yeah, go see your family. Don't worry about us.
Yeah.
But, but there might be some backlog episodes for you when you come back. Who knows? But, yep, so I think that's about it for our announcements. We still have that post up, right, for they can vote on?
Yes.
Tech. Yep.
Cool. So go hit that up. We had some votes in. We got another submission, too, which was interesting.
There's two of them.
Yeah, there's two.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, so right. One thing with that, I don't think someone provided the email
it was me.
For that. Oh, okay.
It was me. I was just going to tell you later. Nice. Okay. What I want to see.
Voting on your own thing. Yeah. All right. Well, that's fine. So you guys have to vote twice as hard because apparently we're voting on it too.
Yeah. I know what I want to do a deck on.
Nice.
All right. It's what I play.
Nice. There you go.
I like it.
All right, guys. So that'll do it for us this week. We'll see you next time.
Oh, snap.